you, that praise band had a tough act to follow, but they did all right this morning, too. Hallelujah. I love his presence. Amen. I love worship. I love the freedom of coming together and just with heart abandoned, just being able to lift your hands and just take some time to just love on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we get so caught up, and especially in this season, or am I the only one in here that gets all so busy and get caught up in this season? And you know, we just really don't seem like we always have the time to take and just slow down for a moment and just spend some time with the Lord, you know, like we really need to and desire to, and say, Lord, I just come today to just spend some time with you. I just come to love on you today. I just come to give you thanks and praise. I come to pour out my heart to you. I come to pour out my praise as the woman who came with the alabaster box. And so when she began to break open that alabaster box, that her fragrance not only anointed the feet of Jesus, but it filled the room. So I want you to know this morning that when you begin to pour out your heart and you begin to pour out your praise on him, it not only touches him, but how many know it's a fragrance that fills this room? Hallelujah, that hearts are changed. You might have come in despair, but you can go out happy. You might have come in heavy-hearted, but you can go out rejoicing. That song we started out singing says, I will rejoice. Hallelujah, and I make that my motto. I will rejoice. I choose to rejoice. Even in the midst of circumstances and situations that seem like they're not favorable for me, I choose to rejoice anyway. I choose to lift up my hands and bless the name of Jesus, because I believe at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he is Lord. Every situation in my life must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And when I begin to lift up his name, I realize there's something bigger and greater than I that's in control of my circumstances, in control of my situation. So I love his presence. I love the opportunity to be in his presence, and I love to be in the presence of the presence of the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys that stepped out in worship and praise this morning, you bless me. Hallelujah. You make a preacher want to preach. Hallelujah. So I'm just so thankful for his presence. Hallelujah. Title of my sermon this morning is Good Morning, Beautiful. And you'll get that in a minute. Yeah, a couple of you said good morning. Thank you. There you go. Good morning, beautiful. Hallelujah. We're going to get there in a minute, and you're going to find out what that means. But last Sunday or so, we began talking about, I'm always hesitant to call it the Christmas story, because we think it's a story we just hear one time a year, you know, and we just do it at the holidays, and then we move on. But I mean, it's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest story ever told. And the series that we've been doing in this holiday season here is In the Fullness of Time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we could be set free from the law. Hallelujah. How many know the fullness of time has come? God has fulfilled his purpose. God sent his son at the right time, at the right moment, just on time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Aren't you happy about that this morning? Hallelujah. That he was made and born under the law, that we might be set free from the curse of the law and everything that the law demanded. How many are thankful today about his amazing grace? See, I think we sing the song, but I don't know if we always know how amazing that grace is. Hallelujah. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. Hallelujah. I am not righteous today according to the law. The law brought nothing but curses. But how many know his righteousness and his grace and his mercy has so covered me that all I had to do today was come boldly before a throne and receive grace and mercy. I didn't have to slay a lamb. I didn't have to kill the fatted calf. I didn't have to bring a sacrifice today. I didn't have to burn it on the altar. I didn't have to wonder if I would go away covered. See, what the law could do and what the blood sacrifice of the Old Testament would cover your sin, but it couldn't remove it. But I got good news for you today. As far as the east is from the west, he has remembered my sin no more. He has removed it, and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law and made righteous in him who is my righteousness. The word says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Hallelujah. The translation of that actually means a menstruous cloth. A menstruous cloth means there was no conception and no seed that had been planted. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. But how many know the scripture says that he became sin for me, that he who knew no sin became sin for me, what? That I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the greatest trade-off of all time. Hallelujah. That he became sin for me because I didn't have the ability in myself to become righteous. And it took me a long time to see myself righteous. Amen. I was saved from a very little girl. But it took me a long time to see myself righteous because I thought every time I come to church, I had to find out what was wrong with me instead of finding out what was right with me. But I want you to know this morning, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and he is head over heels in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you, and he loves you with an everlasting love. You didn't do nothing to earn it. Hallelujah. You didn't do nothing to acquire it. But because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And don't stop there, because it said the next verse, for God sent not his Son into the world, what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if you're hearing a message of condemnation that is condemning the world and judging the world, you need to read what John said. He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to damn you. He didn't come to curse you. He came that he might save the world and that the world through him might be saved. Is there anything that the blood didn't pay for today? Is there anything that the blood didn't cover? See, people want to start saying, man, the world's bad and things are terrible and all of this, and we start listening more to CNN and the stock market than we do to what the angels said when they said, glory to God on high in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. So if you're hearing a message of condemnation, you might need to turn the channel. Hallelujah. Because he loves you today. Hallelujah. Oh, that was free. I'll get started now. Amen. So we've been talking about what we call the Christmas story. The fullness of time had come. Remember that there's a 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament where God's not saying anything. You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody ever been in a season in your life when it seems like God's just not saying anything? I'll raise mine because I'm up front. I don't care. You don't have to, but I've been in those seasons where I think, God, I need to hear from you today. Today, God, I need to hear from you. I need to know direction. I need to know what you're speaking, what to declare. I know what your promises say. I know what your word says. I know what is rightfully mine through the word, but I need to hear from you today, God. Hallelujah. I don't want to go a day without hearing your voice. I don't want to go a moment without hearing your voice, but 400 years is a very long time to not hear from God. But how many know there was a man named Zechariah who was righteous in all of his ways, and his wife Elizabeth was righteous in all her ways, and they went through the motions and they did everything they knew to do in serving God, and yet the scripture says, but they were barren. I know sometimes bad things just happen to good people. Hallelujah. All of us have experienced barrenness in our lives in some way, in some factor, in some fashion in our life. And say, God, you know what? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't care what everybody else says. I believe God, and whether I see it right now or see the fulfillment of his word, I'm still going to stand on every promise he's ever gave me. And whether I step into it in this life or the next, or my generation step into it, I'm still going to stand on his promise and declare that his word is true. And how many know Zechariah finally gets his straw pulled? The lot falls on Zechariah, and it's his turn to serve in the temple. And while he's in the temple, lo and behold, after 400 years of silence, the angel Gabriel stands in the presence of the holy place and says, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Hallelujah. How many know the prayers he's crying out for is not just the prayers that Elizabeth would have a child, because her day is on past. Amen. And so the prayers is not just from baby. I'm sure he's probably prayed the Lord prayer, Lord, give us a son. But he's also prayed the prayer that said, God, when will the redemption of Israel come? When will the curse be broken? When will a virgin conceive? When will the one you promised that the government went on his shoulders, God, when will it come to pass? Will it come in my day and will it come in my season? Because I'm a very old man, God, and I really need to hear from you today. See, what I love about that, this God picks the very old and he picks the very young. And in a combination of that package, God does the miraculous. You're not too old in here today and you're not too young in here today for God to do something amazing or miraculous in your life. And so Zacharias says, he begins to say, and your wife Elizabeth, yep, she's going to have a baby. And Zacharias says, say what? We're pretty old, Lord. My wife, she well stricken in age. That's King James for she's old. She's old. And he says to Zechariah, this always kind of, you know, cracks me up, because he says to Zechariah, because you didn't believe, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months. I think, Jake, probably there been a whole lot of times in my life that I'd been struck silent if I'd have been in that day. Anybody else in here had those moments when you say, I don't know, Lord. Are you sure you are Gabriel? And are you sure you have the right address when you start speaking? Because I'm going to tell you, God has said some things to me in my life and said, well, Lord, that all sounds good, but I really don't know how that's going to happen. I just don't see that happening. I don't see that coming to pass. But I stand before you today to say, my God is an awesome God, and he has done exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. And so nothing with this, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And so for 9 months, Zechariah is silenced. God silences an old order priesthood. He silences the last of that Levitical line of Aaron's priest. And the first thing that priesthood, when his tongue is loose, the first thing he can say is his name will be John. And the name John means grace. Grace or graciousness and favor of God. How many know he silenced an old order priesthood, but when his tongue is loose, the first thing he can pronounce on God's people is favor and grace and the graciousness and goodness of God. Hallelujah. And when everybody else wants to name your baby Zechariah Jr., he said, not so, you're not calling my baby after an old order, an old line, a family name, a family curse, or anybody else's background. You're going to call it what God calls it, and God calls it his grace and his favor and his mercy. I come to tell you today that we are in a season of his grace and his favor on your life. You have favor with God and with men, and in that season with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. And so Elizabeth finds out she's pregnant. A woman of old age. So she hides herself for 5 months so nobody can talk her out of her blessing. Nobody can talk her out of what God is doing in her life. I don't think she hides herself because she's embarrassed. I think she hides herself because I don't want to know if you believe it. I don't even want to know if you agree with it. All I know is God said it, he did it, and it's mine. How many know sometimes you got to hang on to your dreams? You got to hang on to your promises. You got to hang on to your miracles, your blessing, and don't let anybody else talk you out of it. But in about her sixth month, the angel Gabriel makes another visitation. And that's where I want to pick up this morning in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to jump back and read it in the Message Bible because I like how it says it. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the angel Gabriel makes another visit. And this time it's the very young, not the very old, but the very young. You know, sometimes I believe that we start thinking at a season in our life, well, you know, I'm getting old, maybe my ways, my skills, my talents, my, you know, maybe they're outdated, maybe they're, you know, not needed anymore. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Hallelujah. Every season of our life, God has greatness in store for us, and we need every age group. We need the wisdom of the old. We need the energy of the young. Amen. We need the creativity of every age group. Hallelujah. Can you go ahead and bring that up, Carlin? Okay. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, he comes to the house of a young virgin named Mary. Remember again, that's in the fullness of time. God sends forth his son, made under the law, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. You have it? I'll just go ahead and bring it up in my Bible. King James first. Then I need Message next, if you have the Message version. Message is Luke 1, 26 through 56. We're going to do the same. Okay. I always get nervous. My daughter quits dancing right about almost the end of worship. Then she gets my tablet and wants to rearrange things. And I always figure I'll get up here and have all George's input in my sermon there, or my sermon will be erased. Hallelujah. Then I'll just really have to preach by the Holy Ghost. That'll be all right. All right. I got Luke 1 up here. Let's go to verse 26. And then the sixth month, what? The sixth month with Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, let me tell you, when Gabriel shows up at your house, God is up to something. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when he saw him, he was troubled. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor. Everybody say favor. With God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And he himself will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn... up over here. Turned one too many pages. I'm going to stop there. It says, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is a sixth month which with her who was called barren. How many know everybody else had called her barren? But God called her blessed. Hallelujah. And the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and he says, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And the scripture says, And she cast in her heart what manner of salutation that this was. It was a salutation that normally when you were greeted in that manner, it was a salutation for royalty. When someone would greet you in that manner, Hail thou highly favored, the Lord is with thee. It was a salutation that one would greet someone who is in royalty. But beyond that, it was a salutation from a man to a woman, which was rare in those days. But the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and he says, The Lord is with thee, and thou hast found favor with God. Hail thou who art highly favored, not just favored, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Hallelujah. How many know God began to speak some things to Mary that seemed like they were beyond the realm of possibility? Now, perhaps Mary, being at a young age, would have known that the scrolls of Isaiah had been read in the temple. And suppose she knows that maybe Isaiah had prophesied 700 years ago that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And, you know, that the government's going to be upon his shoulder. And all of the prophecies that come to pass. Maybe she knew, maybe she didn't know. But how many know the angel came and said, you are highly favored. The Lord has chosen you, and God's about to birth Jesus out of your womb. Hallelujah. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. It says she was troubled at the saying. And she said, then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations are going to call me not barren, they're going to call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Hallelujah. He hath holden his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. God began to speak that he's going to do the miraculous in the womb of Mary. And Mary, like us, starts to say, how can this be? Because I know not of man. I've never been intimate with a man. I'm a spouse to be married. I'm engaged. I'm planning a wedding, for heaven's sakes. How can this be? He said, it's not going to come by you, Mary, but the favor of God is on your life, and what's going to be done in you is going to be done through the Holy Ghost. Now, I come to tell you this morning, we live in a time of favor and grace and mercy, and what God wants to do inside of you may seem so outside the realm of your possibility, but here's the good news. You're not going to have to do it. The Holy Ghost is going to do what the Holy Ghost knows how to do inside you. How many know the Holy Ghost inside you? Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I and my Father are going to come, and we're going to take up our abode in you, and I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. How many of the Holy Ghost is the Comforter today? Hallelujah. So he said, you don't even have to perform this, Mary. You don't have to do this. It's nothing I require of you except your willingness to receive my will in your life. How many know there is a response to his will and his call in your life? Mary said, bring it on. Be it unto me according to your word. But if you still had some doubt in your mind, Mary, guess what? Your cousin Elizabeth, who everybody else has called barren, go ahead and call her blessed because she's about to have a baby also. And this is the sixth month with her who everybody else called barren. Now they're going to call her blessed. You may have been in a barren season in your time, but I want you to know, everybody, lift up your heads because you're about to be called blessed. The blessing and the favor of God is on you. But if you have any doubt, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth had the same visitation from a same angel, and something supernatural happened inside of her. So now, what are you going to do when you find out Elizabeth is pregnant? She's had the same visitation you have, and a miracle has taken place in her. You better saddle up your donkey. And you better connect yourself with somebody. Find an Elizabeth in your life. Find somebody in their life that God is saying the same thing to, that God has already done miracles for them, that God is already stirring up the supernatural in them. And go ahead and connect with somebody. See, that's what I love about coming together in this house and in worship and praise. I want to connect myself with somebody who's already got something happening inside of them. And there's something stirring inside of them. And about the time Mary comes running up the hill country towards Elizabeth, I don't know how long it took her to get there. And she probably said, I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there, but I got to find out if she's hearing what I'm hearing. And she gets to the bottom of the hill and she must be crying out, Elizabeth, Elizabeth, Mary is here. Elizabeth, I've been hearing good things. And Elizabeth comes outside, and as if there were no ultrasounds and no stethoscopes and nothing that would let Elizabeth know to that point that that baby really was in there. Because about the time, you ladies know about this time and seasons, and when that baby starts to move and when it starts to kick, they call that the quickening. Hallelujah. When that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken or make alive your mortal body. That quickening inside, all of a sudden, that baby who seemed like it laid still and dormant, and Elizabeth's holding on the promises, thinking, I hope I am, I hope I am. When she hears the sound of somebody else that starts to lift their voice, she's something inside of her jumps, something inside of her leaps, and her baby starts to move. And she said, Hail thou highly favored. How am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? Because when I heard your voice, Mary, something inside of me jumped. Something inside of me leaped. The Holy Ghost, John got filled with the Holy Ghost, and now the Holy Ghost is all over me. And Mary and Elizabeth are having a Holy Ghost party. And when you have a Holy Ghost party, don't stop. Hallelujah. She said, I wasn't sure till I heard the sound of your voice, Mary, and my baby inside of me leaped, and the Holy Ghost is doing something inside of me. I want you to know this morning, the Holy Ghost wants to do something supernatural inside of you this morning. If you'll just be like Mary and Elizabeth and say, here's my heart, here's my womb, here's my life, bring it on, God, be it unto me according to your word. What everything, ever you have purposed in me, let it be so. Hallelujah. And a Holy Ghost encounter takes place. A three-month revival, because Mary's not going anywhere. The scripture says, and Mary stays for 3 months. Count it. Elizabeth is 6 months. Mary stays for 3 more months, because guess what? I'm not going anywhere till I embrace your miracle and see God do everything that he promised he would do for you. Because if I can help usher in your baby, if I can help usher in your miracle, if I can help you get to where God wants to take you to, then God is going to do the same thing in me. I'm not going nowhere till I look that baby in the eye, till I hold it in my arms, till I embrace the promise of God for myself. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we can embrace and hold the promises of God. I don't have to live off of your miracle, because God has something great in mind for me also. I don't have to live off of your experience, but I can enjoy what God is doing in you, and deep can call to deep, and our spirits can connect. And I say, you know what? If God will do a miracle for her, he'll do a miracle for you. And if he'll do a miracle for you, he'll do a miracle for you. His word declares, for with God, nothing Nothing shall be impossible. Anybody looking at the realm of the impossible today? I come to prophesy to you that with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you believe that, reach out and grab a hold of it today and say, what I'm looking at that seems like it's impossible, I declare that with God, nothing shall be impossible. It is the season of miracles. It is the season of His favor and His graciousness in our life. I'm here for the duration, Elizabeth. I'm not going anywhere. Hallelujah. And I believe that Mary was there when that baby come forth and held in her arms the one who would prepare the way for her son. John, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. I'm not the one, but I come to bear witness of the one who is coming. I'm not even worthy to untie His shoes, but when He comes, He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. So that when Jesus steps up on the shore that day and the opening debut of His miracle, He says to them, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. What an encounter. What a moment. What a time. And what a season it is. Hallelujah. Now, if you read that in the Amplified, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her, and this is what he said. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beautiful. God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. The angel Gabriel comes to her and says, good morning, beautiful. I love that. When the angel of God shows up at your house, Gabriel, the host of the heavens, makes an appearance at your house. I don't know if he draws his sword or not. I don't know exactly what he looks like when she looks over and sees him. But when he looks at her, he says to her, good morning, beautiful. You're beautiful inside and out. And I'm about to do the miraculous inside of you. See, what I loved about the worship this morning was all about His amazing love to us. So I come to tell you this morning in this house, good morning, beautiful. Good morning, beautiful. God wants to do something amazing, something miraculous in your life. Hallelujah. And here's the good part. You have favor. You are blessed. You have the grace of God upon your life, and you don't even have to figure out how to do this. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to question, how am I going to do this? How am I going to work it out? What am I supposed to say? You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is yield to me and say, be it unto me according to your word, because it's a Holy Ghost thing. He said, you don't have to do it, Mary. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And the Holy Ghost is going to put the seed of God inside of you. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring this to pass. And the Holy Ghost is going to fill Zachariah and Elizabeth. And the Holy Ghost is going to fill John from his mother's womb. And when you get to Elizabeth's house, there's going to be a Holy Ghost encounter. Can I just tell you, it's all about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The greatest gift you'll ever receive is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost works from the inside out, not from the outside in. We've had it so backwards all of our life that we thought if we could clean up the outside enough. People say, when I get my act together, I'm coming to church. Well, when you get your act together, it's still an act. And if you could get it together, you woulda. So you're not going to be able to get it together. Just come to church and let Him get you together. We're still trying to work it from the outside in. When I get my act together, I'll come. Well, it's still an act. If you think you could achieve it on your own, we didn't need a Savior. Jesus went through a whole lot of suffering and death and hurt for you for nothing if you thought you could do it on your own. But I got a news flash for this morning. You can't do it on your own, but the Holy Ghost inside of you. Hallelujah. Can so supersede anything that we can imagine, anything that we know. Hallelujah. Mary, you don't have to make this happen. You're in a season of favor. You're in a season of God's gracious goodness. He picked you. Hallelujah. And you know, he said to her, "Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you." And we think, wow, you know, she was righteous. She was young. She was a virgin. She glowed in the dark, you know. And so that's why God picked her. But if you go back and look at the lineage, there are some women in there that didn't have the same reputation that Mary had. We've been talking about on Wednesday night Bible study, the other women. They're in the story, you know, the rest of the story. The nuts in the family tree, you know, that story. The skeletons in the closet, that story. Anybody got some crazy relatives you hang out with over the holidays? Don't. Anyway, in that story, there's some women that didn't have the same reputation. Tamar didn't have the same story Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary had. Rahab didn't have the same story. But I cannot tell you, there are two women that made it to the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. One of them is Sarah, and the other is Rahab. She said, "You know what? I wasn't born righteous, but I got there as soon as I could." And she embraced the promise of God. And when the spies came, she said, "You know what? I've heard of your God, and we've been in fear and trembling of him. I never met him before, but whoever he is, when you guys come, take me with you." And because of her faith, the scripture says, through faith, Rahab believed the promise. She wasn't born righteous or born, maybe lived holy, but how many know she got there as soon as she could? You may not have the same background as Zechariah and Elizabeth. You say, you know, people say to you, "What's your background?" It's heathen. It's heathen, yeah. We didn't come with credentials, we didn't come with pedigrees. But I got there as soon as I could. Hallelujah. How many know God can use anybody? He can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Any ordinary people in here today? Hallelujah. Anybody in here got some history? Anybody got some background? How many know Bathsheba made it in there? Ruth made it in there. A Moabitess. Hallelujah. You might be sitting here saying, "Yeah, God will use Mary because she's righteous and she's pure and all that kind of stuff." He used Rahab. He used Ruth. He used Tamar. Hallelujah. He used a donkey. He used a rooster. Hallelujah. You can pick whatever category you want to fall in there. I'll let you call that one. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you this morning, when God calls up, shows up at your door and calls you beautiful, just go ahead and answer the door. "Good morning, beautiful." I love that. "Good morning, beautiful. You're beautiful inside and out." When we were singing that song, "Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God," the next part of that, I could hear the Lord singing to us, "You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me." See, we sing it to him, but this morning I heard it, him singing it back to us. You heard it? I heard him singing it back to us this morning. And I heard him say, "Good morning, beautiful. You have favor and grace on your life, and this is your season of favor. And I'm about to do something inside of Word of Deliverance, in the womb and the hearts of Word of Deliverance this morning. And I don't need you to do anything. All I need you to do is respond and say, 'Be it unto me according to your will, Lord.'" And a Holy Ghost encounter takes over.
That he could do it through me if I just trusted him, if I just accepted him as my Savior. then he began to do the work. He began to do the work in my family. My husband got saved. My kids got saved. And it's just taking that first step and just opening your heart and saying, God, I've messed it up this far. Don't let me mess it up anymore. Just let me walk with you. Just let me, you know, I heard Andrew Womack the other day when I was getting ready to listen to Lynn's program, and I heard him make this statement that everybody has a purpose in life. And he said, you know, everybody wants to go to church and get as much as they can what they get, and then sit on their can and do nothing with it. And I thought, well, come on now. You know, if I could have shouted at him, I would have praised God with him. But I said, you know what? I want as much as I can get, but I'm not going to can it up. I'm going to spread it around. I'm going to let the world know that God loves me and is alive. And that what I see in the natural is not who I am. What I see in the Word is who I am. You know, the scripture says, look into the mirror of God. And I used to look in that Word to try to find out, well, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? But what I didn't understand was that when I look in that Word now, I can see what I'm doing right. And I give God glory for all that. And then I just want to share this little story. I know you're getting tired.
It's all right, just got to get tired.
But Lisa and I went out to breakfast yesterday morning.
Oh, gee. The microphone.
This time I got it. And we were sitting there having our coffee after we ate, and this guy walks over to the table, and he said, "Your mother and daughter, right?" We said, "Yeah." He said, "I saw that when you came in the door." He said, looked at me, and he said, "I just want to tell you what a beautiful daughter you have." I said, "Thank you. I think she's beautiful, too." And I said, "She's my pastor, too." "Your pastor?" I said, "Yeah, she's my pastor." So he wanted to know her name. He said, "I know her husband, too."
She has one.
She has one. But I thought, how nice when you can go in a place and somebody looks at you and sees beauty.
Yes.
You don't have to be pretty. I'm talking about beauty.
Yes.
I'm talking about something like she was saying. What's beauty? What makes you beautiful is what's in here.
Yes.
It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. But I felt very proud that she was my daughter.
Amen. You know, the thing about blessings is that we're blessed to bless. We are blessed to be a blessing. We need to look for opportunities on every hand to be a blessing to somebody. You know, and I love those Jehovah sneaky blessings. You know, Jehovah sneaky, where you just kind of like sneak in and drop a blessing and sneak back out. Nobody knows you've ever been there, but you know. You know, those silent blessings nobody even has to know about. Hallelujah. I mean, he's Jehovah sneaky this morning. He just sneaks in and drops blessings. But he says to her, "Good morning, beautiful. You are favored. You are blessed. The grace of the Lord is on your life. And out of you, all nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now, you know, we say that sometimes. You think, well, I'll never reach the nations, or I'll never bless the nations. Or you would be surprised. You would be surprised. And out of this church, God has blessed the nations of the earth. When you are faithful to this house, and you're faithful in your giving and your tithes, and it makes it available for us to do what we do in this house, you literally are reaching the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. So don't sell yourself short. You might be like Mary, "I don't know how this is going to happen. But whatever it is, Lord, be it unto me according to your word." Hallelujah. I mean, he calls us beautiful today. He said he come to speak to those in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. He gave us his beauty. He calls us beautiful. He's made everything beautiful. Ecclesiastes says he's made everything beautiful in his season. beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion. It's you, the sides of the north. Hallelujah. Beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them that bring news, declaring peace and saying, our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a season of the miraculous. It's a season of miracles. And I don't believe just the Christmas season is that season. You understand what I'm saying? When I say a season of that, I just mean it's the time, in the fullness of time. Hallelujah. You know, we had a word spoken to us not more than about a month or so ago that not just ask for healings, but ask for miracles. Amen? I mean, there's some things in our life that seem like it's going to take a miracle. Anybody ready for some miracles this morning? Hallelujah. So I want you to just declare over yourself this morning his favor and his goodness in your life. If you've been living in his fear and his wrath and in condemnation, you're not living under the God that I know. Hallelujah. Yeah, does he chasten? Yes, he does. But he chastens those who he loves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But his favor is upon you in this day and in this season. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in this house this morning that doesn't know Jesus, if you've never accepted him as your personal Savior and you want us to pray with you this morning, we'd be glad to do that. It's the greatest present you'll ever receive, the greatest gift. If you're in this house this morning, say, God, I need you to move. I need to hear from you. I need the miraculous in my life. I need you to, if you're just in a situation, say, God, whatever it is in my life that you want to do, whenever you've been stirring in my heart, God, and I didn't see how this could be possible, just go ahead and believe him this morning for the realm of the impossible this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are faithful.